The theme in small group ministry for this month is prayer, so it just seemed kind of natural to have a homily this morning on prayer, which I entitled Prayer UU Style. First, I would like to issue a disclaimer. The title of my sermon is Prayer UU Style, but I realize there are as many definitions of Prayer UU Style as there are Unitarian Universalists. So it is presumptuous of me to declare that I can present Prayer UU Style, but I submit that what I'm going to discuss is something that most UUs can embrace, or at least tolerate, or not. In my sermon of June 24th this year, I talked about the mystery of creation and life, a mystery that's neither creationism, creative design, nor rational scientific explanation. It is a mystery. I spoke that this mystery has been called by many names throughout history. Some call it Tao, some call it Brahma, some call it Isis, Ishtar, or the goddess. Some call it Yahweh, some call it God, some call it Allah, some call it Great Spirit, some call it Spirit of Life, and some call it Higgs boson. But whatever the name, it is not the mystery. As Lao Tzu, the ancient Chinese philosopher, said, "The Tao that can be told is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name." Well, we all experience our mystery, and we all experience it differently. We experience the mystery of life through our senses, and we interpret our sensations with inspiration, intuition, and imagination. And since we all have different experiences and interpretations of the mystery, we cannot dogmatically define the mystery no matter how hard we try. Our senses record our environment objectively. On the other hand, our inspiration, intuition, and imagination interpret our sensual records subjectively. This moves our experiences from our rational, conscious mind into our emotional self and our subconscious, the stuff that dreams are made of. Modern psychiatry affirms that only 10% of what we know and what we are is within our conscious mind, and 90% of what we know and what we are is in our subconscious. And our subconscious is integrally tied in with our emotions. Blaise Pascal, the French philosopher, stated in his Pensée, "The heart has reasons which reason knows not." In the Gospel according to Harry Potter, we have a conversation between Harry and Dumbledore. "Tell me one last thing," says Harry. "Is this real? Or has this been happening inside my head?" Dumbledore beamed at him, and his voice sounded loud and clear in Harry's ears, even though the bright mist was descending again, obscuring his figure. "Of course it's happening in your head, Harry. But why should it mean that it is any less real? It is possible that what is inside is more real. It is possible that the still, small voice is real. It is possible that the still, small voice is within us." As Jesus said, "If your leaders say to you, 'Look, the kingdom is in the sky,' then the birds of the sky will precede you. If they say to you, 'It is in the sea,' then the fish will precede you. Rather, the kingdom is within you." To my way of thinking, the kingdom is that still, small voice. F.C. Happelt, in his Anthology of Mysticism, published in 1963, relates a story of his own experience. "It happened in my room at Peterhouse on the evening of 1 February 1913, when I was an undergraduate at Cambridge. There was just the room with its shabby furniture and the fire burning in the grate and the red-shaded lamp on the table. But the room was filled by a presence, which in a strange way was about me and in me, like light or warmth. I was overwhelmingly possessed by someone who was not myself, and yet I felt I was more myself than I had ever been before. I was filled with intense happiness, and I have never known since. And overall was a deep sense of peace and security and certainty. It was a wonderful and quite unforgettable. Happold has not only experienced the still small voice, but has experienced it as a presence as well. So how do we communicate with, contact, be in touch with the still small voice within? We accomplish all of this through prayer. Well, what is prayer? Let's talk first about what is not prayer. We have experienced prayer in the church of our youth, mumbling the same phrases over and over again, usually without really paying attention to what we said. Or we were forced to repeat prayers in school before it became unfashionable and illegal to do so. This was not and is not prayer. The Unitarian Universalist, what I call poet laureate, Mary Oliver, described prayer this way. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together, and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but a doorway into thanks, a doorway into thanks, and silence in which another voice may speak. Prayer UU style, in my way of thinking, is a combination of meditation and contemplation. Meditation is the clearing of the mind through mindful stilling of the mind, usually facilitated by concentrating on the breath. Now, this form of meditation is normally what we call Buddhist meditation, although it is quite common in many religions. Contemplation is a different animal. Contemplation is the systematic concentration on spiritual texts, usually but not strictly from Scripture. Now, right here, I want to stop and put Scripture into perspective, as many of you look askance at Scripture. When I refer to Scripture, the Bible, I do not refer to it as dogma, but as poetic liturgy full of metaphors, certainly not the literal word of God. After all, God spoke through the prophets. Thus saith the Lord, says the prophets, and then repeat to the people what God has said to them. The prophets and the people were likely illiterate, so the prophet, or someone who has heard the prophet, or someone who has heard someone who has heard the prophet, you get the idea, goes to a scribe and has it recorded, perhaps centuries later, especially since written Hebrew didn't appear until about the 10th century BCE, and perhaps with editorial revisions to reflect later political environments. Now, the whole process reminds me of a skit that was repeated on several occasions of The Tonight Show back when Jack Parr was the host. Now, some of you may remember the skit, or even, maybe even remember Jack Parr while you were youngsters. Well, while you youngsters out there would never have seen it. Well, anyway, Jack Parr would tell a joke to Hugh Downs, his announcer. And Hugh would repeat the joke to Genevieve, who had been back in the green room and hadn't heard the joke originally. Then Genevieve would repeat the joke to Jose Melis, the band leader, who had also been back in the green room and hadn't heard the original joke. Then Jose would tell the joke back to Jack Parr. Well, the joke that Jose told Jack bore no resemblance whatsoever to the joke that Jack originally told, and really wasn't a joke at all. So the Bible may be an attempt at recording the Word of God, but is at least subject to transcription errors. So again, we can view the Bible not as dogma, but as a poetic and metaphorical liturgy where the words may not be true, but the meaning therein contains universal truths. Samuel Taylor Coleridge called religion the poetry of mankind. As I said before, UU style prayer is a combination of Buddhist meditation and contemplation. The contemplation portion of prayer is based on the Jesuit practice of spiritual exercises, as developed by Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Society of Jesus. Specifically, after the mind has been cleared by meditation, then attention is focused on a spiritual text. While focusing on the spiritual text, Particular attention is paid to words or phrases, and the imagination brings the senses into play, imagining the sight, sound, taste, smell, texture that are related to the words. These mental images are then used as pathways to our emotions. And Ignatius interpreted these significant emotional connections and experiences as God. In this way, the divine that is experienced is very Emersonian and Unitarian. And expressing that experience as love is very universalist. And we have completed the circle, our UU circle. And when we pray together, or when we pray conscious of the fact that others in the world may be praying at the same time, we connect with the Jungian collective consciousness. To paraphrase Ina Garten, the barefoot Contessa on the Food Network, how powerful is that? So let's recap the method of UU style prayer. Number one, meditate to clear the mind. Read or listen to a spiritual text. Imagine the senses that we associate with the words of the text. Feel the emotions that the senses and text bring up. And then follow these emotions to the still, small voice within. At this point, you may wish to ask for something that you need, whether it be patience, love, freedom of fear, removal of pride, a feeling of plenty, and so forth and so on. Again, I'd like to quote from the poet Kathleen Norris in this wonderful book, Amazing Grace. And she says, "I have learned that prayer is not asking for what you think you want, but asking to be changed in ways you can't imagine, to be made more grateful, more able to see the good in what you have been given instead of always grieving for what you might have been." Or as Forrest Church has said, be who you are, want what you have, do what you can. The great Lebanese poet Khalil Gibran, in his masterpiece, The Prophet, speaks of prayer. Then a priestess said, "Speak to us of prayer." And he answered, saying, "You pray in your distress and in your need. Would that you might pray also in the fullness of your joy and in your days of abundance. For what is prayer but the expansion of yourself into the living ether? And if it is for your comfort to pour your darkness into space, it is also for your delight to pour forth the dawning of your heart. And if you cannot but weep when your soul summons you to prayer, she should spur you again and yet again, the weeping until you shall come laughing. When you pray, you rise to meet in the air those who are praying at that very hour and whom, save in prayer, you may not meet. Therefore, let your visit to that temple invisible for the naught but ecstasy and sweet communion. For if you should enter the temple for no other purpose than asking, you shall not receive. And if you should enter into it to humble yourself, you shall not be lifted. Or even if you should enter into it to beg for the good of others, you shall not be heard. It is enough that you enter the temple invisible. I cannot teach you how to pray in words. God listens not to your words, save when he himself utters them through your lips. I cannot teach you the prayer of the seas and of the forests and of the mountains. But you who are born of the mountains and the forests and the seas can find their prayer in your heart. And if you but listen to the stillness of the night, you shall hear them saying in silence, O God, who art our winged self, it is thy will in us that willeth. It is thy desire in us that desireth. It is thy urge in us that would turn our nights, which are thine, into days which are thine also. We cannot ask thee for aught, for thou knowest our needs before they are born in us. Thou art our need, and in giving us more of thyself, thou givest us all. Prayer takes us deep within ourselves, deep within our emotional subconscious self. And we can hear that still, small voice crying from the depths of our souls in the words of Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. So be it.